Joining you live tonight, right here around the world on WWRV 3.185. Glad to have you in here. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a great message for you tonight, and we're going to play you Sister Linda's song that we've had so many requests for. And ladies and gentlemen, we know that Yahweh is a strong tower, and the righteous, you know, they really do. They run into it, and the Bible says that they're safe. And so if the righteous are scarcely saved, the Bible indicates where will the sinner and the ungodly appear. Well, I'm telling you, they're going to come up short in the day of judgment. You know, you hear a lot of false things that can be easily refuted, but they're always going to show you the error of the lunar Sabbath, but they never get around to it. You know why? Because when you go into Scripture, that's all that's in the Scripture. The calendar that they promote is not in the Scripture. So we would just like to tell you that the error is in the understanding of those that keep Saturday before the Sabbath. That's the error, and that's easily refuted because there ain't no Bible for it. But, you know, when you get to wanting to prove the error of the lunar Sabbath, you've got to walk over about 100 scriptures in the Bible that indicate that the lunar set the timekeeping for the house of Israel. So, basically, ladies and gentlemen, if you really want the truth and you want to be made free, well, just remember one thing. The truth will make you free if you'll obey the truth and walk in. And the Bible says, basically, you'll find rest for your soul. So, if you want rest, get into the truth of Yahweh and love His name. This is to be sent out to all of those who love Yahweh and are going to be joining us starting Friday evening in Murphy, North Carolina for the Festival of Passover. I love Yahweh. If you love Him, you'll be there.
I love Yahweh. Thank you.
Yahweh. Would you like to be rescued tonight? Well, just keep the scriptures and obey the commandments, and you're going to enter in life. That's no problem. I'll give anybody $10,000 to prove any Sabbaths that were ever kept other than the 8th, the 15th, the 22nd, and the 29th. Now, that's a fair proposal to these gawking, hawking, jake-legged, knock-kneed, hump-backed, pigeon-toed preachers that'll get up and preach you that Saturday's the Sabbath according to the Greek-Roman calendar. Then they accuse the Romans of changing it. Ladies and gentlemen, if they changed it, they added days and take away days. They say they won't tell you these things, so it's easy to refute this stupidity coming out of these babbling brook preachers that don't know enough about the Bible to be on the radio teaching the Bible, because in the first place, the scripture is given for inspiration, it's given for correction, and it's given for reproof. So if you want to be reproved, get in the ring. And, you know, if you want to talk about the Lunar Sabbath, I know a lot of Lunar Sabbath men that would be glad to take you on, and I'm one of them. So if you're a salty dog, get right in here and let's get ready to rumble about the scriptures being the only authority. You see, if you want to prove Saturday, Saturn's day, the pagan god day, that's the day that these heathen keep. And anybody keeps Saturday is nothing but a pagan heathen that has changed the word of Yahweh to keep their tradition. And that's as simple as I can make it, and as blunt as I can be, because we're not in here to take prisoners. We're in here to bring blood out of these false prophets that wants to sell their wares on public radio. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to sell some false doctrine, you're going to be called about it, and that's for sure. So anytime, just present your doctrine, and we'll see if we can deal with refuting it. It would be a joy, unspeakable and full of glory, to bring about 80 scriptures on behalf of Yahweh's sacred appointments, which it's the sun and the moon. And, of course, the Saturday keepers want to throw the moon plumb out. And that is denying Yahweh's word. No, they don't keep the new moons. No. But Israel kept it. But these heathen, especially here in America, we got more heathen in America claiming to be Christians. Well, the Christians are a dime a dozen. They're standing on every street corner with a sign on their back with their tradition. And when you get the babbling like a babbling brook running down a mountainside and running off at the mouth and foaming out your own shame and can't back up what you're saying, they're always going to bring you the scripture, but they never do against the lunar calendar. So we're waiting on it. Now, when I said salty dog, we're going to talk about the covenant tonight, and we're going to get into the covenant. The lunar Sabbath is part of this covenant, but we're not on the lunar the Sabbath tonight. I'd like to be. It will be a joy to get right in and salt this up and get it. You know that the salt in biblical times, there was hardly a food that was not seasoned with salt. Can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt, saith Job? The most common method of obtaining salt was, of course, mining. It was also produced by evaporating seawater and removing the salts from the sediment. Now, but we know that the trade ships, we have history, documented history, that over 275 bushels of salt was delivered to the temple, just to the temple now. Now, that ain't to the people out in the community that needed salt. Did you know that nothing can live without salt? Ever thought about that? And did you know that salt is a preservative par excellence? Salt is a preservative mentioned in the Bible. It is used basically to symbolize the permanence. Did you know that Yahweh wants to make a covenant of salt with you tonight? And you're afraid to get on the salt circle? And if you refuse to make a covenant of salt with him, now, there's a performance of this thing. see, do it according to the rituals, he said. Now, we're going to start in 2 Chronicles, chapter 13, and we're going to verse 5. Ought you not to know? Well, there's a lot of people that don't know. They run from the salt circle. They think it's of the devil. Did you know that the devil is wiser than the children of light? The Bible says that the children of darkness and the Satan got his children out here pretending to be witches. And they're pretending to use salt in their rituals. And when a prophet gets up and preaches about the covenant of salt on the altar, that it scares people literally to death because they've been vaccinated with the traditional immunization against the salt covenant. Here, Yahweh said, "Oh, you not to know. Do you know that the Yahweh, the Holy One of Israel, gave the kingdom over Israel to David forever?" He didn't give it to Judah. He gave it to David. David was not a Judite. And David was a Josephite, an Ephraimite. Now, his descendants, which took his place. But at that time, he was a Josephite. And Genesis 49, verse 22 through 24, tells you that that kingdom, this covenant of salt. Now, we're talking about a covenant of salt here. And we're talking about the sacred altar. You say, "Well, Pastor Buddy, how did you know that the altar was round?" I've had people ask me. Well, it's very easy. If you go to Judges chapter, or Joshua chapter 5, Yahshua in Hebrew, if you go to Yahshua in Hebrew chapter 5, you'll find that they took 12 smooth stones out of the Jordan River. They only took 12. So the altar has to be built with 12 stones. Now we go to Deuteronomy in chapter 27, and we find an interesting scripture in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 27, where it is stating emphatically that Moses with the elders, here's what he said, of Israel commanded the people, saying, "Keep the commandments which I command you this day, and it shall be on the day when you shall pass over Jordan into the land which Yahweh gave you, that you shall set these stones and plaster them with plaster, and you'll write on them." Oh, my heaven. Who in the world does that today? Who does that? Who is those foolish people that are foolish enough to go gather up stones and fix them where you can write on them, to where you can make them legible to understand what the 12 stones is for? Now, who in the world would do such a thing? Who would obey the Bible? Huh? I mean, well, let's just forget that thing, Pastor Buddy, and let's just go on out here to the church and meet on Easter and roast a pig. Or let's go down here to the church on Saturday and tell them we're keeping the Saturday Sabbath. Glory to God, Shunda, and that's the one that the Jews kept. Because the present-day Israel keeps Saturday. I don't make it the true Sabbath just because some people that claim to be Jews and literally are not, and they're keeping Saturday, and these Jewish wannabes, it's amazing how they want to be Jews. And there's nothing wrong with being a true Jew, but we're talking about being a false Jew. There's false Christians. That's the ones I'm not against the true Christians. I'm not against anybody that would obey Deuteronomy chapter 27 and take 12 stones and write on them. Because I do that myself. But yet when I do it, I'm called a par excellence witch or a warlock. And why would they do that? Well, only Satan believes in salt circles, Pastor Buddy. Well, wait just a minute here. Let me come back here to 2 Chronicles in chapter 13, 5. Ought you not to know? I'm telling you, folks, we're so far behind in obedience to Yahweh's word. No wonder a few people's going to get into heaven. No wonder that it takes courage to stand against this nonsense. You've got to have boldness. Everybody thinks I'm hard and I'm mad and I'm angry. I'm not. I am just committed, and I speak the word boldly, and it comes across like I'm mad. I'm not mad at nobody. If I was, I wouldn't even speak to you. And I'm speaking to you from the bottom of my heart, urging you to turn over to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 27 and read. Please, for the sake of the love of Yahweh, don't be lost. I wouldn't plead with you if I was mad at you. I'd tell you to go to hell. What does a person do when they're mad at you? Tell you to go to hell. Well, what does Yahweh do when you won't keep his word? Well, he gets mad as hell. And he says he'll turn all nations into hell that won't obey him and won't keep his commandments. That's what he said. Ought you not to know? 2 Chronicles 13 and 5. You see, ladies and gentlemen, I'm a Bible reader. I'm a Bible studier. I don't go on Saturday Sabbath that ain't in the Bible. I don't use that crap. That's nothing but dung. Something that comes out of the mouth of the false prophets that are up a bellowing and belching that stuff out, that the Gregorian Roman calendar is all now. Oh, yeah, it was messed up then, but today they got it right. That is hogwash. Oh, man, I tell you what. When you hear this false crap deliberately challenging the preachers of Yahweh and you don't expect them to return fire, you better believe you're in Dixie down here. And we march to the drum of the sword. And the Bible said, woe to them that fail to bring blood. I'm a prophet that'll bring blood. I'm going to put my blood up, and I expect that anybody that stands up against the word of Yahweh is going to be cut, because that's what the word, the sword, is for. And Paul said the ministers of Yahweh don't carry those swords in vain. They'll use them on you. And the word will stop every mouth. Saturday Sabbath, read it in the Bible. That they give it on Saturday. You say, well, Saturday's the seventh day of the week. It is according to the Roman calendar, according to the Bible. And so, what are you going to believe? You're going to believe the Bible? Are you going to believe the Roman calendar? You're going to believe these false prophets, or are you going to believe the Word? I mean, you know, if you're trying to scratch out a living preaching something false, you're going to prosper. Because marvel not if the wicked prosper. But the afflictions of the righteous are many. You see, the devil is always trying to get his barbs in and hide behind some skirt tail to do it. Where's the men out of Israel? These false prophets, they're hid behind some telephone or some microphone or some church. And then when you go in, you just come to cause trouble. We're going to call the law. What? Call the law? Open the Bible. That is the law. And you lay your pocketbook down and say, first time I get out, I'll give anybody $5,000 when I get out of the word. Lay your pocketbook up there, and they never touch your pocketbook, but they call the other law. That is, the authorities, like they arrested the Messiah. He's been arrested. It ain't no crime and no sin for you to be arrested and thrown in jail because you believe in Yahweh's laws. Ought you not to know that Yahweh has given to David and his sons forever, even to him and his sons, by a covenant of salt? By a covenant of salt? You ever been in a salt covenant? You ought to order my DVD on the covenant of salt. You'll get the rest of the message. I'm just hurried for time here. I don't have time to go into all of this, but I just wish I did. Now, salt symbolizes the eternal nature of a covenant. Do you know what the Brit? You know why they're called British? The sons of Saxon that came into the British Isles. Did you know where some of the best salt in the world comes from? Have you ever heard of Celtic salt? Well, no, I've never heard of that, Pastor Bay. I just use the old table salt. You know, it's free, and you know, they give it to you free at any restaurant. Glory to God. They just fill them salt shakers up and tell you to shake her down, buddy. And I love to salt my food. Did you know you're eating calcium chloride poisoning? Anybody that picks up a salt shaker on a restaurant table or down at McDonald's and pours it on a 50-part hamburger from 50 different cows has to be insane. No wonder you got problems. You never heard about the good salt? Yeah, you had to pay for it. You don't have to pay for this poison that the people that are trying to kill you and destroy you. They call it salt, but it's not salt. It's modified. It's genetically altered. It's poison. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a salt, and number one salt just in a minute here. The salt that we recommend. But the Celtic Sea salt is number two. The most awesome mineral salt upon the planet is named in honor of Yahweh. It comes from the region of the high Himalayas in pure 100% glacier water extract through the minerals of the high mountain chain of the Himalayas. That's the number one salt in the world. It costs you $18 a pound. Would you like to have a pound of salt? I said, well, my man, I can get it at McDonald's for nothing. They just you get 50 packs. Well, I've carried it out by handfuls. Well, go ahead and carry it out. You know why they make it available to you? So you'll kill your stupid self. Anybody that salts with the salt, table salt, that is free. Now you can go down here and get you, we used to give 5 cents a box for it back in my days, and you'd get a big tub of it. But it wasn't real salt. Did you know all animals has to be salted? Did you know in the second chapter of Exodus, verse 13, that Yahweh said there will not be any food that you eat in my presence without salt? That's what he thought about salt. Yahweh said this. Now he also commanded and commended those who would love him and keep his commandments. Here in Deuteronomy chapter 27, they had an altar here. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what kind of altar do you reckon it was? Glory to God. Well, we go to 1 Kings 18, and we enter Elijah. We can describe the altar for you in the book of Elijah here in 1 Kings chapter 18. It was a altar that was in a circle. You see, Elijah, you see, Yahweh's altar been torn down, just like they are today, in favor of the bell box altars, one with platforms on it, where they showboat. Even the sacred name people's got them. I've been in them, and I watch them, I look at them. You say, well, there's nothing wrong with a platform, buddy. Well, you get up on the platform, and you need to be above the people. Well, now, ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing wrong with an altar out, an earthen altar, that Yahweh commanded the first words out of his mouth, according to the 20th chapter of the book of Exodus here, that I read you Monday night, which was right out of his mouth. He said, build me an altar. And build it an altar of stone. Well, that's what Elijah was building up on the mountain up there. Mount Carmel Showdown is what I call it. We need to have a Mount Carmel Showdown with all these false prophets and a few of the righteous prophets. If we was to call a preacher's meeting and all the preachers in the world had to assemble and read it or hang them, they would be more hanging than they would be standing. Oh, yeah, they speak well. Mm-hmm. Fire speeches. Deceive the hearts of the simple, the ignorant. When, you know, I'm so far out in the scriptures, everybody thinks I am.
Well, I've never heard that, glory to God.
Well, have you read the Bible?
Well, I heard what my preacher says, and I never heard him preach it, and he can't be in her because he preached the Bible.
Just because your preacher don't preach some of these controversial things, no wonder he don't build an altar. No wonder he don't get on a circle of salt. No wonder he don't stand on 12 stones. No wonder he don't paint them and identify them with the 12 tribes of Israel. No wonder. Because it's Bible. And he's not in the Bible. And these people that speak against the altar, as much as they speak against the Sabbath, they come against this, through ignorance and error. Oh, my foolish prophets, you err. You err to please the people. You're a gunslinger. You think it's big to call a preacher that's preaching against your doctrine. Well, get on out of here. Get on out of here in the public. Let's get her on. Come on down to Mount Carmel with Elijah, and we'll set up an altar down there. You get on the platform, and I'll build me an altar down there and put 12 stones on it, write the names of the 12 tribes of Israel, which is commanded here in Deuteronomy chapter 27. He said, write upon them all the words of this law. Now, you know he didn't write the whole five books of of the Bible, the Torah. He didn't write that up on there. He wrote the names of the identity of the 12 sons with 12 stones. You know who that is, do you not? Do you have any problem here?
Now let me see. Now if I get this right now, you say there's 12 stones, brother? Buddy?
Well, that's what Elijah said. He took 12 stones and repaired. They must have been removed. And you know that the Bible says you're not to remove your neighbor's landmark. That's against Yahweh's law. You better leave them alone. It's a holy place. You think it's just a circle with salt on it. You step on it and you defile it and you see what happens to you. Now, I'm a living witness. I have seen people struck dead for defying Yahweh and desecrating his altar and making fun of it. You know, you don't have to get on it to make fun of it. You can publicly come against it, and you may be in serious trouble. I'm warning you. You don't want to do that. I'm warning you not to speak against Yahweh's covenant and Yahweh's laws. It's a salt covenant, ladies and gentlemen. And Pastor Buddy is the only one on radio that I know of that's preaching it. The rest of these humpback, mealy-mouthed, pigeon-toed, weak-kneed, Petticoat Junction preachers, the ear ticklers, they won't come down here and debate me on these subjects. I've offered to give my time and let them combine their time, and we get a public radio debate. And let's see what the Word says about these subjects. Let the Word speak. If the Word stops every mouth, and I ain't in the Word, it's going to stop mine. That's a bona fide surety. But on the same token, if they're not in the Word, it's going to stop theirs. Now, after 55 years of continuously studying, and everybody wants to know how old I am, well, I'm pretty white and 21, and I've been around the teacup hunting for the animal, and I've found it. It's obedience. The Word. I started packing my Bible when I was 9 years old. I was baptized in a missionary Baptist church when I was 9 years old. And the preacher said, I just baptized a preacher. He recognized me as a minister. He just didn't know what kind of preacher I was going to make. And years later, I went back and I had to stand against him on his false doctrine. Because he baptized me wrong. He baptized me saying, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And that ain't the way you baptize. You don't baptize anybody. You want to get in a covenant? Get in the real covenant. What do you want to go through life for? Because the things that you've learned, now that Pastor Buddy comes along and you have to unlearn them, and you're afraid. The Bible says that those who draw back, remember what happened to Lot's wife? Didn't she draw back? I wonder what happened to her. Now let me see. Let's see what happened to her. Did you know the Bible said that salt is good? Matthew chapter 5, salt is good. But if it's lost its saltness, she lost her saltness. She went down to McDonald's and put that poison on her. She's missing something at McDonald's. She had to run back there for something. I have a suspicion it wasn't at McDonald's. You know, we've got so many of these cross-dressing perverts. You know, Sodom and Gomorrah was full of them. What does she want to go back for? Do you reckon she forgot her salt? She denied her salt. She didn't have the salt it took to get there. She turned back. And the Bible said, they that turn back. It would have been better for them not to hear this word and turn back than for them never to have heard it and keep on trucking. Because most people ignorantly worship him, thinking that they're doing God a service when they literally want to kill you when you preach something they've never heard. Yeah, I'll make the devil mad. I have people telling me all the time I'm so far out of the Bible, it's pitiful. Then when they talk to me for a few times, I said, well, wait a minute. Man, you're closer. You got the word there. That's what it says. Well, I said, well, if that's what it says, here, build you an altar. Elijah, he built an altar with 12 stones, and he dug a ditch round about. You know what the word round means? It means a circle. How many stones was in there? 12. Well, do you reckon he might have positioned them on a 30-degree arc arrangement of 360 degrees? I would think so. Do you know that they compassed the altar? Roundabout? You say, oh, no, they had compasses back then. Oh, yeah. The pyramid's built on a 51-degree slope, true north. Listen, it's a fraction off of what they said was true north. Even in the most accurate instruments, it beats most of them, hands down. And it stood there for thousands of years, built by some of the ancients. Enoch being the instructor, and the angelic beings of the heavens built it as a monument and an altar. An altar. And to Yahweh, did you know that they have found brine, salt brine, in the pyramid? And I wonder where it came from. That, well, evidently, it was used for a combustion chamber, and that they were doing something to create energy with it. Well, I don't know, but there was salt found in it. There was wheat found in the lower shaft, and he took it out and planted it, and it sprouted and come up after thousands of years laying in there. There's something going on here, folks. Perversion versus preservation. Perversion is the ones that will not tell you these things, and preservation is a prophet that'll sow you some salt. I mean, any man is worth his salt. Have you ever heard this old Scottish expression, Irish expression? Man, he's tough. He'll fight a circle of salt. Did you know that the Israelite army, before and after they went into battle, it was salt before and salt after? They stood on a salt covenant altar and prayed before they ever went to battle if they won the blessings of Yahweh. Then after they took the territory, did you know that... Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is amazing. Did you know that they sowed the city with salt and burned it? You say, Pastor Buddy, you're out of your mind. Oh, really? That's what the Bible says. It says that they literally sowed the city when they wanted to destroy a land, when they wanted to destroy, you know, salt will kill grass if you put it directly on grass. And where you build an altar and you salt it, there's going to be a ring there, and it will be there for the longest time before anything will grow on it. We had a brother and sister over in Andrews, North Carolina, that got worried and concerned that was killing all the grass in nature on a blessed altar that we'd built in Andrews, North Carolina, and an unbelief sprung in there. And got a hold of a false prophet, brought it in, and one of the brothers got carried away with it and started teaching it. And the first thing we know, they had desecrated the altar and took the salt off it. Wouldn't even let us put the salt on it. Well, that's the last time we ever stood on it. We walked away from it. And did you know that the next Passover, that was on Passover, and the next Passover, some of the people that did this died? They're dead. They're buried. Be not forgetful to entertain the strangers of the gospel. I preach a message that is so strange that if you mess with this and you kick against it, and our believers are 100% behind me. That's what I love about our congregation. They're battle trained. They know scriptures. I've got men and women. I'm talking about women that know as much about this message as I do, because I've taught it freely to them, and they understand it, and they believe it, and they support it 100%. Well, why would anybody support you, Pastor Buddy? You're just a rambling idiot. Well, that's what they thought about Elijah. The whole house of Israel. I mean, as far as Elijah was concerned, he didn't know that they was 6,999 more people that felt like he did. He hadn't took a census in Yahweh and given the message, but Yahweh told him that he had 7,000. I mean, when Elijah thought that all Israel had been sabotaged away from the truth and the covenant and the altar, the covenant of salt and the altar is what he's bitching about. Pardon my expression in French. But that's literally what Elijah's problem. His gripe was, Father, they have all deserted your altar, and they've all gone up here up on top of the mountain to worship in the high places, and they're up on them big old platforms, and they're styling and profiling, and they're dancing, and they're eating and drinking, and they're being merry. and I alone am left. He said, get yourself up on the mountain. It's time for a showdown on Mount Carmel. Well, here went Elijah, a lone ranger. I like to refer to it as a lone stranger, and that's what we are. We're strangers. You are a bona fide, genuine, salt preserved, if you are a salt covenant member of the house of Yahweh. And if you ain't worth your salt, you're gonna be thrown to the side. You ain't fit for nothing. Remember Lot's wife, when she turned back, she turned to a worthless pillar of salt. Would you want to be like Lot's wife? He that puts his hand to the plow and starts plowing him a circle of salt and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. Be salted with salt. Let your, Paul even said, let our speech always be seasoned with salt in the book of Colossians. Let your speech be seasoned with salt. You ever heard a peg-legged sailor cuss? That's an old expression down here in the South. A peg-legged sailor, I mean, you know he had a lot to gripe about. Being peg-legged and probably wounded in some war, and get like our Vietnam veterans and our World War II veterans. They fought these wars for the rich, elite, and powerful. We've got brethren that's still in Iraq after 7 or 8 year endless war over there that are being encouraged to go over there and give their life. Who for? Mr. Bush, he's a multi-billionaire. He's not a millionaire. He's an extreme, eccentric billionaire. And I should say trillionaire. I think I'd be closer to the net worth of the Bush family, don't you? After robbing the people and convincing them that they ought to go over and fight a war just to increase the sale of oil and to take the oil territory. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what it's all about. See, let your salt be seasoned. In Matthew chapter 5:13, salt is a preservative substance. When used to preserve food, it prevents mildew and bacteria. So if you don't want a mildew in some rusty church, I mean, I'm ashamed of some of these people that sits in church. They've been there for 50 years and they don't know John 3:16. They can't even quote that right, and that's the most favorite scripture they've got, and they can't even quote John 3:16. What difference does it make? They can't quote that either. Did you know, like I said in Colossians, that he said, let your salt seasoned your speech be full of grace and seasoned with salt. And for you that wants the scripture, 4 and 6, Colossians. Ladies and gentlemen, do you understand what I'm trying to say? Did you know that Yael, when she killed Sisera, the enemy of Yahweh, when she encouraged him to come over to her tent, did you know that if the Israelite men had caught Sisera in the tent, that was a violation, that no man went into a tent where a woman was at, unless it was a husband? Even a general would never dare to go into a man's tent. But that's what he done. And he was encouraged by Yael here. And she was going to kill him. And you know what they did when he got in? He said, I need a drink of water. I no doubt he had a hard time slipping through the Israeli camp. See, that right? He was being hunted down by the house, the army of Israel. But he ran right to the enemy, Israel in this case, and he hid in the lady's tent. And that's like a lot of these preachers. They're under these women's coattails preaching what they say to preach. They don't preach what Yahweh says. If they did, they'd get in the Bible, and they preach Deuteronomy chapter 27. You say, well, what's so important about Deuteronomy 27? Well, we're going back there just as soon as we can. And, you know, I'm so involved in this message, I might preach this message for a couple or 3 weeks if I don't get sidetracked with some of these false prophets that sort of stir me up about their challenging. I'm going to let you know where the lunar Sabbath is wrong. I'm waiting. Please do me a favor. Come on and tear out 80 pages of scripture that I've read. Tear those out. Let
unbelief be your damning sin? I challenge these people. I said, well, if that you mean that's not, I don't mean that? I literally ripped up a Bible in our church, and the people here in Tazewell, where I pastored for 30 years, when these false prophets would come in and say, you don't mean it like that, and we'd have some of these debates. So I just go up there and get that Bible that I had up there, and I turned over and worked that scripture, said, we didn't mean that. I just ripped a page out and throw the Bible back on the stand and go sit down. And the preacher was appalled that I would have the audacity to tear it out. Well, you might as well tear it out. If you don't believe it, and you say it don't matter, you don't have to do that no more. Well, let's go up there and rip it out. Ladies and gentlemen, you better not take this lightly. Your soul is hanging in the balance, and the Bible said you're going to scarcely be saved doing good. Let alone saying it don't matter what you do. Well, we don't do that no more. That was their customs. We don't do that no more. Try that on Numbers chapter 29 and verse 1 and see if that ain't still a covenant. Praise Yahweh. I'm in the covenant of Yahweh. I'm a soldier. And I come to fight the good fight of faith and to lay hold on eternal life. I'm going to guard my salvation like a junkyard dog. I'm trained to attack anything that comes against the word of Yahweh. I'm set to defend my king. I am like Joab that stood by David's side when the man walked up and cursed the king. Joab pulled his sword and he said, King, I'm just waiting for you to say the word. Now, this is a man that killed a giant 13 foot big. And you thought he was afraid of that little scrungy Benjamite that came up there complaining about some tax law probably that David had inserted. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a sure thing. Taxes have been around for a long time, and your belly aching and bitching about it ain't going to change one word. Just render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and unto Yahweh that which is Yahweh. Now, let me end my message tonight. Well, time has flown here. How time flies when you're having fun in the scriptures refuting these false prophets that get up like a bunch of baying jackasses and twist. All they do is whistle. Dick said, oh, well, I've got the scriptures now. You wait. You just wait. I'm going to bring them. Well, we're waiting. Hey, man, at my age, I can't wait too long. Let's get it on. Let's find out what the truth is. I want to go to heaven. I want to keep Yahweh's word. Well, let's see what we do here. And, therefore, it shall be that when you have gone over Jordan, that you shall set up these stones. Set them up. Well, that's what Elijah did up on Mount Carmel in 1 Kings chapter 18. He set up 12 stones in a circle, and he dug a trench around about. Now, that was Yahweh's order. Huh. Boy, it looked like a witch covenant. Here's Elijah, the prophet of Yahweh. I mean, you know, and no doubt he put the symbol of what Israel should be, the salt of the earth. And they had walked away from the salt covenant altar and went over to the Baal, the platforms, the churches with a steeple on it. The paganists of the churches today wouldn't recognize a preacher of Yahweh because he'll stand out on an old-fashioned altar like Elijah and mock the prophets of Baal on the platform. And people say, well, now, buddy, you're just too bold, and you're too brash, and you're too harsh, and you've never heard me compromise with the devil, and I never will. I'd rather die and go to heaven than to compromise and go to hell. I'm going to repeat that. I had rather die right now, because death is a sure thing anyway. I would rather, and the Bible said, that death is precious in the sight of Yahweh. The death of his saints is precious. That was Moses, the man that I'm reading about right here. I can read where he died, and in the 17th chapter of the book of Matthew, a few years later down the road, he was resurrected, and he come back to life. That's what we're laboring for, eternal life. But you can't get it mealy-mouthing on the word. Do you think that the Messiah said, well, Satan, you got a good point there, and,
I know God loves everybody, and, it's all right to be of this faith and that faith. They but one faith. They but one Yahweh. They but one baptism, and that baptism is in the name of Yahweh for the remission of sins, for you to get a covenant of salt. That's what it's all about. The most precious salt, like I said, the number one salt in the earth is up on the Himalaya Mountains, extracted from the glaciers of pure 99.9%, just like silver, of pure minerals. There's so many minerals in it, it makes you dizzy. Read them. You read the table salt minerals and wonder why they don't put a label on that. Wonder why they don't tell you the benefits and the minerals that's involved in your calcium chloride sitting on your table. It's slow poison. It's a salt substitute. Do you know what the devil is? He's a substitute. He's an imitator. Yeah, he's got a few witches out here that came in, just like he's got a few astrologers out here now running around. And, of course, the church is against astrology. Well, they're against Daniel. Daniel was the chief astrologer in the city of Babylon. He was a pretty wise astronomer and astrologer. Well, the people that found the Messiah, you think that they were ignorant, deceived people, like the Christians have been led to believe that astrologers are deceivers? You don't believe in the position of the stars, and Yahweh told you to look up into the heavens and see that the master painter of the heavens painted the stars and numbered and put them in place, and you don't understand that because you don't believe in astronomy or astrology? The position of the stars is astronomy, and their position, and astrology is the interpretation of what the stars mean. The wise men must have been astronomers and astrologers. They found a man. They knew the plan. You look up in the heavens, and it's very easy to say that there's going to be a king born. It's written in the stars. And you shall build an altar, verse 5. Unto Yahweh, an altar of stones, and you shall not lift any iron tool upon it. Boy, it's a delight for me to just sit in my easy chair. I'm an old man. So the young boys in our group, you know, they build altars. And I just sat there and enjoy and watch them and just get blessings and chills and thrills and spills and glory and revelations and love when I watch them build and dedicate an altar. Now, I've got to hurry on this because I'm not going to cover it. We'll be in Mercury, North Carolina Friday night. I don't know if we'll get on this or not. We may just have an old time testifying service. We've got a lot of brothers and sisters that are coming in over there. But anyway, I might just be on this. I don't know. Whatever the Spirit says. And Moses, verse 11, and Moses charged the people the same day, saying, there shall stand up on Mount Gerizim. Now, if you don't know where Mount Gerizim is on your geographical scale map, I'd be interested to show you where it's at, and you wouldn't believe it. Everybody thinks it's down in southern Judah, I guess. It wouldn't. You will stand six, and you shall stand up on Mount Gerizim to bless the people. Now, when you said stand up on Mount Gerizim, he said stand on the altar. He said anywhere on the mountain, you go over and stand. No, they couldn't do that. They had to go to the altar and stand on that altar, and they had to be specifically six men out of six different tribes. And you say, oh, buddy, you're out of your mind. No, I'm just in the Bible. You're out of your mind if you don't believe it. Because that's what's going to get you to heaven is the word of Yahweh. Better yet, obedience to the word. And thou shalt stand up on Mount Gerizim to bless the people, and when you are come over Jordan, remember they took up 12 stones and took up on 12 stones? That was the main altar. They had a main altar, and they had a cursing altar, and they had a blessing altar. And we're going to read about the blessing altar right here. Now this is not the worship altar. The 12 stones was on the blessing altar. That's combined together. But Yahweh divided the count six and six, and here's the people that he put on from the tribes now. That'd be specifically from the tribes. And those who stand upon Gerizim
to bless will be the tribe of Simeon, the tribe of Levite, the tribe of Judah, the tribe of Issachar, and the tribe of Joseph, and the tribe of Benjamin. And they shall stand up on Mount Ebal. It was another mountain. These were the cursing altars. You say, oh, God, don't mention that word. God loves everybody. Don't curse nobody, Pastor Buddy. I'm telling you one thing. You turn over to Numbers chapter 24, and you'll get you a good dose of cursing. If you don't read that, Balaam built an altar. And he was going to build it, and he'd sold out on Yahweh. He had built it in hopes that he could curse Israel and get the gold and silver that the enemy brought down to harm this prophet Balaam. And you know there's a lot of jackasses in the world today that needs to walk up to some of these preachers and do like the jackass that Balaam wrote and let him tell these jackass preachers that's preaching this false doctrine just exactly where to get off. I mean, the dumb mule had to open his mouth and speak. And your Yahweh has got Pastor Buddy to teach you the things that these blind, foolish shepherds are not preaching because they ain't men enough. I'm not under Skirtel. I'm not under the influence of some church organization. I'm not ruled by some big denomination. You're fenced in. Get out from that. Come out of her. Where you can be free. I'm a rebel. People say, yeah, I preach behind a rebel flag. I love the rebel flag. It's not because I'm a racist, which I am, but I'm proud of my heritage. I'm white and I'm right. That's just like Yahweh. Revelations 1:14. His hair was white. I've got white hair, what little I've got left. And his head was white. He was a blushing Israelite. That's what he was. He could blush. Your Messiah could blush. There's a lot of people on earth can't do that. So you better get with the program here. And they shall stand upon Mount Ebal. And these shall stand there on Mount Ebal to curse. It will be the house of Reuben, a representative from Gad. My wife is from Gad. You stir her up and get her mad and see what you got. She's very quiet and meek and humble. But I guarantee you one thing. You better not get Gad stirred up because she'll come forth like a troop. And you ain't never seen nobody in action till you see this trooper from Gad. Asher? Is that Dillon? You don't want to get old Zeb stirred up. Dan? You better not mess with Dan. He's bad to the bone. Naphtali? Yeah, these are the cursers. Yahweh give the blessing to Israel to bless and to curse. We've lost the cursing because we get over in the New Testament and we got some modification of the New Testament and it's, oh, God loves everybody. Well, I'll tell you one thing. You tell that to some of these people he's killed in history. And I don't think they could agree with you. And I wouldn't do that either. Listen here. In Ezekiel 16:4, I got to close. Speaking of the origins of Israel, on the day that you were born, you were not rubbed with salt or swaddled. When they brought the Messiah forth and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, you know what that was underneath the swaddling clothes? Salt! And you know what that done? That wiped all of the afterbirth. It's a cleansing. It's a preservative. It was symbolic, and yet it had a use. Because, you see, if you put bad salt inside and you turn bad, you turn to a pillar of salt. It will actually eat your organs out. And that's what's wrong with people today having so many problems is because they're eating calcium chloride, the same stuff that they melt the snow off of, they put on your table, and you expect that it not to eat your innards out? You need to get some Himalaya salt. $18 a pound. You say, I can't pay that now, glory to God. Well, you put the best gas in your car, and you put the worst food in your body. And salt is a necessary, not evil, but it's a necessary good, and it's good for you to be swaddled in salt. There's a lot of people, especially these false preachers, and I don't want to get stirred up too much on that. I got to close. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Pastor Bud and Shepherd's Call. hours went far too fast. I'd like to finish this up Friday night, but I've got to be in Passover. We're beginning our meeting in Passover. Write me tonight. If you love this message, the Salt Covenant, you want more information, I've just got started on it. I could preach on this for a month and give you insight and revelation to what the Israelites done with salt and what Yahweh commanded them to do with salt and the way that they built their altars. We're out of that. It ain't common today. We're on bell box altars. You get out of there. You run. Run to the circle of salt with the people of Yahweh. We have people coming, they were a little scared to get on it. They're scared to step over on the salt circle. Wonder why? It's reverence. Fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Well, he ain't a God of the dead. If you want to go to the dead, go up to the churches. They're dead as last year's bird's nest. And about that dry. Write me, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. You can call me tonight, area code 423-626-2172. And ladies and gentlemen, I love you, and I'll see you Friday night from Murphy, North Carolina, live on WWRV around the world on the Transmitting Jewel South. Yahweh bless you.